You're listening to the FQXI podcast. Now, Brendan, can I tell you about the next segment, calmly, without any references to sci-fi, fantasy, or horror this time?
Okay, what is it?
It's a total change of mood. I recently visited an exhibition at the London Canal Museum, developed by artist Lindahl Phelps, in collaboration with particle physicist Ben Still of Queen Mary University of London. Phelps was asked to create something that depicts the ideas and methods of particle physics experiments. Taking inspiration from the underground Super Kamiokande Neutrino Observatory in Japan, where Still works, she built a huge installation housed in an ice well at the museum. Having descended down two ladders into the well to view the piece, I chatted with both Phelps and Still about what they hope the exhibit will achieve.
I really want people to feel that they've encountered something quite unique, and that's the combination of experiencing these spaces. And when you descend into the well, it's like you've gone into another world. You know, by the time you put your hard hat on, by the time you come down the two metal ladders, everything changes when you come down. The air is different. It's humid down here. The sounds are different. The smells are different. So you automatically feel that you've gone into another place. And the fact that you then, you know, encounter this, you know, what I think is quite a magical work, it just gives that other layer to it as well. So I just kind of hope people leave feeling that maybe they've entered another world for a while that they've really enjoyed.
That was artist Lindahl Phelps describing her installation, Covariance. It is the first part of the Superposition project, initiated by the UK's Institute of Physics to bring together artists and physicists. Dominating an underground cavern at the London Canal Museum, the piece hangs like a giant chandelier from the ceiling. The installation was inspired by the Super Kamiokande neutrino detector in Japan and evokes aspects of particle physics experiments with its shape, colours and materials.
The work is basically made up of six concentric circles that are in a framework in the ceiling, and then 380 discs are suspended from that in drops of five. And within the six concentric circles, the outer one is made up of discs that have clear glass beads and diamantes on them. And the reason I've chosen them to be clear is they replicate exactly the clear glass domes on the side of Super Kamiokande. And also the concentric circle patterns that you get in the particle detectors are actually the designs that are on those outer discs.
Phelps created the work in collaboration with Ben Still, a particle physicist at Queen Mary University of London, who has worked at the Super Kamiokande detector. The design of the piece was based, in large part, on his descriptions of the methods used to collect, analyse and reconstruct the data in such experiments.
So, you see a lot of concentric circles, but you also see regular grid-like patterns represented on each of the discs, but also in the piece as a whole. And this is mimicking the regular structure of particle detectors, which have to be in regular in structure, so that we can reconstruct exactly what is going on inside these massive machines. Because what the sensitive electronics usually tell us is how much light or how much energy is being deposited within these particle detectors, and then the very accurate placement of all these pieces can tell us the position, and we also have accurate timing, and from all of that we reconstruct the underlying physics. And the outer rim of clear beads are to represent these electronics I was talking about, light sensitive, that usually surround all of these particle detection mediums.
And then as you move in, then you get a series of coloured discs. The next area of concentric circle is blue, then it's green, then orange, and then two of red. And those colours have been chosen because they're the colours that Ben uses, but they're also generically used within particle physics to represent the activity of particles within a particle detector.
I mean, for instance, in a lot of event displays, we'll have a colour spectrum which dictates how much energy is being deposited. And we'll usually use, you know, red would be a high number or a high value of energy, whereas low in the blue would be a lower value of energy. And this is kind of represented in the piece with the red discs in the center being a lot more densely packed and the blue discs being a lot less tightly packed. This is the way in which this piece is, you know, reflecting the different aspects of particle physics.
The materials used in the piece not only reflect aspects of particle physics detectors, but also reference the workers, in particular, the female computers, as they were known, who historically recorded data from particle physics experiments, as Phelps explains.
In terms of the materials, the reason I've chosen the beads and the diamantes, which may not be your first choice for something connected to particle physics, but the most important part of them is that they react to light. And light is integral in terms of basically detecting particles, and that's how the information is relayed back to various computers and so forth. So I wanted a work where light very much was playing within the work. And then the other sort of reference to the materials is that one of the ways that Ben and I worked was that before we had a meeting, I would ask Ben to just email me some keywords or phrases that would be part of our next meeting. And I'd then feed those into Google Image and see what happened or what came up. And one day I just came across this very, I loved it, image from 1970 of a bubble chamber experiment in Atlantis. And essentially it was a woman sitting at a console, hair in this wonderful beehive hairdo. And I was just really curious, so I took that along and said, you know, Ben, what's this? And then he told me about the female computers who were employed to basically record all that data that was coming out of the bubble chamber photographs. And I was just instantly captivated because I've always been drawn to areas where there's a real strong sense of labour and work ethic, and particularly if it's a repetition of a simple task over and over again. So I kind of knew that the work that I wanted to make, I somehow wanted to represent those women and to make a work that required me to do simple tasks over and over again that was very repetitious and very tedious, which this was. And then the other link is that obviously glass beads and diamantes are a very feminine object, which again, you know, is that nice link back to the female computers. The other material that's quite important here is the brass, in that all the links are handmade from brass rods, and then all the beads are glued onto brass rods that go through the clear acrylic discs. And that comes from the history of science and scientific instruments. One of the sessions that Ben and I had was in the Science Museum, and besides looking at various things attached to physics, we were walking past the 18th century gallery, and I love historical scientific instruments, so we sort of veered into there. And at some point whilst we were there, I said to Ben, what in this room relates to what you do? Thinking really that the answer would be probably nothing, because there's so many, you know, hundreds of years in between them and what Ben does now. And he was quiet for a while, and then his answer was great. It was everything. So I was really keen to have something in the work that related back to those times of the early origins of science and scientific instruments, and brass was obviously the material to do that with.
And of course, the other thing to say about it, which you're too modest to say, is that it's absolutely stunning to look at. And part of that is the location. It's underground. It's in an ice well. I'm not exactly sure what an ice well is, but perhaps you can explain that to me. Now, I've seen pictures of this piece of work, I guess, as it was in development on the website, and it looked beautiful. But here in place, sort of in the dark with very subtle lighting, it just sort of takes on a completely different character. So can you talk a bit about how the actual location was chosen and what it's meant to represent?
The location was key. So once I learned more about particle detectors and the fact that they're all subterranean, that they're either under earth, under ice, or underwater, then I knew instantly that I wanted to try and find a subterranean location in London where we could put the work. And I also wanted it to be a location that not many people have ever been into, that it was going to be quite a unique experience to get into it, which led us to the London Canal Museum. And it's become more and more perfect in a way.
The environment is reflecting the environments in which the detectors are usually placed. So a lot of these particle detectors have to go underground or underwater or indeed under ice to protect them from cosmic rays, that are bombarding us all the time, so that we can make sure that what we're seeing is exactly the particle events that we're interested in, usually neutrinos. And so where we are right now, underground in these ice wells, so as you rightly said, they used to house ice in the Victorian age, which would then be sold throughout the year. And it was actually a business idea of an ice creamer, and he initially wanted to bring everything over so he could make tasty ice cream, but ended up selling the ice as well. So shipped from Norway, brought up the canal, and then dumped in here. These wells are actually full with a lot of dirt. They're actually 12 meters deep in reality. So there's a lot of dirt beneath our feet. They were filled in the 50s after London was cleared after the war. And so you've got the link to ice. As I mentioned, some detectors are under ice. You've got the link to underground because we are subterranean. But also you've got the link to water as well with the canal nearby, and we're actually below the canal waterline. And so there are lots of links to where these detectors are actually housed. So it's a perfect location for such an installation.
So, you know, it just seemed to be the ideal location for that. The other is that it's circular.
Yes.
Its shape is basically replicating Supercamacandy, which is in the process of building two new detectors that will be parallel to one another, exactly as these two wells are circular forms that are parallel to one another. And then there's another quite sort of slightly less obvious link, but I talked about the female computers and having an identity with their labour. And the more I've started to think about this building and the men who toiled down here, putting ice in the wells, moving it out, it would have been a really hard, physical, repetitive work. So there's a really nice link there with it as well.
You know, it's such a big piece of work. It's huge in scale. How long did it take you to put it together, and how difficult was it to kind of construct it in this location here?
Oh, that's a very good question. It took a long time, but a relatively long time to make. And it has taken 3 months, and that has been working every day without a day off, long hours to get it finished. And so, you know, it's been a huge labour of love to make, but it all comes apart in bits. It's really great. So even the framework that it's suspended from, when the engineering firm who made it brought it down, it was dropped down in bits, and then they assembled it down here. And then when all the discs came, they were all packed individually in boxes that I had snaffled from a local supermarket, of which there were 30 boxes in total. And the light boxes, obviously, they came in their own sort of packing. But everything was just dropped down the opening in the well by rope and assembled.
Well, like I say, it's an absolutely beautiful piece of work. You must be very, very proud. What do you hope people coming to see it will kind of take away from it?
In some ways, I hope they have the same journey that I had. This was my first foray into particle physics. And Ben knows, I've said to him that initially, whilst I was very excited to be involved, I was a little bit sort of nervous also about the particle physics area, because my perceptions of particle physics was that it was very abstract. My first meeting with Ben, really just all those things went out the window, because he talked a lot about Supercamacandy in Japan, and one, it's just incredibly stunningly beautiful to look at. And I was, as soon as I saw it, I was just captivated. And the first thing I said was, well, can I get there? Can I go there? And the answer was no. So I knew from that moment that the seed of an idea for whatever the work would be, that it would be something hopefully that would have that same kind of visual impact to Supercamacandy, but be a place where you could go and physically encounter it. And then he told me about the story behind the glass domes that line the walls of Supercamacandy, and how they're hand blown in the mountains of Japan, where the air is pure by men who don't smoke or drink, so their breath is pure. And that's just wonderfully poetic. So my preconceptions of sort of dryness and abstractness were completely, as I said, blown out of the water when, you know, I began to realise that particle physics was very, you know, visually rich and, you know, even poetic. So it was just a wonderful discovery. So I'm really hoping that people will be just, their curiosity will be tweaked to go away and just find out more.
Thank you to Lindahl Phelps and Ben Still there. For those of you near London, there's still time to book a visit to see Covariance, and I've posted details on how to do that on the website. On October the 17th, There will also be an in-conversation event where Phelps and Still will be discussing the work. And if you can't get to London, then I've posted images of the exhibit on the website, www.fqxi.org/community.
So that was recorded down in the well. What did you think?
I actually, you know, I wasn't sure what to expect when I was heading down there, but it's a very impressive piece. It's, for one thing, it's huge. It's very, very colourful. The day that I went there was a hot summer day in London, and, you know, it's very noisy and bustly above ground. And then you climb down these two ladders into a very quiet, dark, cool, very contemplative space where they have hung this huge installation that really dominates the space. It certainly provokes thought.
Have you been to the actual Kamiokande or the detectors at CERN?
Yeah, I haven't been to the Japanese detector, but I have been to CERN. And, you know, nothing can really recreate exactly what it feels like to go underground at a huge particle accelerator because, you know, they are so vast. Everywhere you look, you're in these gigantic tunnels and there's just massive equipment all around you. But what it does capture is actually kind of the look of the particle detector. There's a lot of rotational symmetry. There are a lot of concentric circles in both real detectors and also in this piece. There's a lot of colour and it does give you a sense of what those detectors actually do look like.
Well, it sounds like if I could, I should go.
Absolutely. I would say it's a very different experience because I think you're climbing into the well. You get a real sense of, you know, getting dirty quite literally and experiencing the piece of art. In a way, I guess that kind of captures the sense of doing science in a way. It's sort of, it's a bit more hands-on than many exhibits are, and it's well worth a look. There you see, Brendan, there was nothing frightening about that at all.
Right, apart from the bit where you descended into a well to see a Japanese-themed exhibit. Have you not seen the original Japanese version of The Ring? To any visitors, I would just say watch out for young girls with long wet hair covering their faces.
But if you do go and you're on Twitter, you can let us know what you thought at FQXI. You can also email us at podcast@fqxi.org.
That's all we have time for this week.
Thank you again to Niaya Shafshordi,
The Dragons and Zombies,
Ofer Lahav, Peter Doll, Karin Pickema,
Jeremy Bentham Skeleton,
David Rideout, Colin Stewart,
Nazgul,
Ben Still and Lyndall Phelps,
and Sadako from the Japanese horror movie Ring.
No, don't thank her. Don't encourage her at all.
She's been Zia Morali.
And he's been Brendan Foster.
Oh, Halloween came a bit early for FQXI this year.